Spiritual Life Center, transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart,
one heart,
one mind,
one mind, one soul at a time.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
Well, good morning. Once again, as we come together to remind ourselves that God is indeed good all the time. And as I was thinking about what to share today, I remember I was in a biology class in high school. And I was fascinated by the question, how did life evolve? How did it get here? And I went to the library because they didn't have Google. And I researched, and I don't remember what I found, but I was reminded by an article I read recently that life on Earth began in water. And when the first animals moved onto the land, they had to trade their fins for limbs. They had to trade their gills for lungs in order for them to breathe on this newfound land. And I don't know how that happened, but that evolution, that change was necessary in order to adapt to their new earth. But the shift to lungs and the shift to limbs doesn't tell the complete story. As these creatures emerged from the sea, I believe they gained something perhaps even more precious than air. They gained information they were not privy to before. They opened themselves to new possibilities when this life came onto the land and in the air. Their eyes could see so much further than they could underwater. Their vision increased, it expanded, and provided information that brought to awareness lots of food. Lots of food they previously had no knowledge of at all. Of course, I'd been there for a while. In many respects, it was a call to their future, a call to their tomorrow. And I bring that up because I believe that the challenges that we collectively are facing today, COVID-19 across the planet, racial divide primarily in the United States, but also some places of the world, the political polarization that has not been seen in recent history, is a call to our tomorrow. It is an instigation for us. It is beckoning us to birth a new humanity, to birth a new world, to birth a new way of being in our country and on the planet in which we live. You know, it's like the oak tree shouting at the acorn, "Wake up!" And this pull of our tomorrow is stronger than the pull of our yesterday. Is stronger than anything that has happened in our past or anything that has happened to us. The universe is inviting us to consciously embrace that evolutionary pull. Yet for that to happen, we must resolve to evolve. Because unlike creatures that evolve seemingly naturally, we must consciously choose to evolve. You know, we've heard that statement from time to time that we're spiritually made in the image and likeness and out of God. We're spiritually made in the image and likeness of ultimate reality. And we're saying some way in shape or form the image and likeness of God is just like us. Now, we rush over that statement at times and we say that statement often. You may have heard it quite a bit. But many times we don't know what it means. Oftentimes people have a tendency to think we are made in the image and likeness of God, so God must look like us. God must look like a human being in some way, shape, or form. God must have these human qualities just like we have. Or God must have these human frailties just like we have. Or have these human emotions. And if we look at it from that perspective, we have misread what it means. Because when it says we are made in the image and likeness of God, it's not that God is made in our image. It simply means that we have the same faculty that God has. We have the same faculty as the force of the universe has. We have the quality and the essence of the Spirit. But we have the faculty that God has as well. Now, what that faculty does and what that faculty is and what's different from what humans, different between humans and animals is this. You and I have had the capacity to think independent of circumstances, independent of situations, independent of people, places, and things that are taking place in the world. We have that same faculty that God has to enter a field of creativity no matter what's happening and allow nothing to become something. Just because we're thinking about it, we become the observer, and we can unhook ourselves from the world of affairs. We can unhook ourselves from circumstances, and we can create and forge a new future. We get to think independent of all the circumstances and not let them determine what our tomorrow will be. But to get there, we have to break free from conventional thinking. We have to break free from consensus thinking. That part of us that wants to be normal, that wants to fit in and do things the way they have always been done. This is the way it is. We're going to have to hear that scriptural reference that says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, oftentimes we get caught up into a belief system based upon where we come from, what people have told us. And I remember when I was in high school, and I was in an inner city school, and no one there was really going to any top tier colleges or universities at the time. But some of us in my class saw a new possibility that was not the common way of thinking from the folks that were around us. I say that because, you know, we can look at our environment today and the challenges that we face. And many people up to now may have said, you know, this is the way it is. There's nothing we can do about it. The system is just rigged. That may have been conventional thinking. Now, conventional thinking is everywhere. Consensus thinking is everywhere. Herd thinking is everywhere. And many times people are just born into that. And, you know, we've been educated, sometimes indoctrinated, to go along with what has always been and what has been normal. And what we've consciously done, we've just capitulated. We just surrendered to the way of the world or to our environment. You know, I was speaking to a friend who was asking what she could do to heal the racial divide that we're witnessing in the country. And as a result of all the protests, it's still on her mind. And she said something interesting. She said she recognized that oftentimes she would join in with her friends by saying racist jokes about other ethnicities. And it suddenly dawned on her, she realized that she had been making an unconscious something normal. But as she looked at it from a distance, she realized that she had to challenge herself. She had to challenge her friends to stop uttering those kind of demeaning words about others, because it dehumanized them and contributed to a consciousness, a vibration, and an atmosphere where a sense of separation and racial discrimination and unjust treatment of other human spiritual beings was a possibility. I think what she was bringing to her awareness, maybe to our own awareness, was that sometimes we get caught up in that kind of consensus thinking without thinking about it. And maybe we want to ask ourselves, how often do we find ourselves in doing something similar? Doing what's popular, what appears to be normal, when in fact there is a deeper calling within you and me to do something else, to set ourselves free. I want you and I to get a sense that we have to break free from the consensus thinking. And as we are choosing to evolve, we're allowing this impulse of good that is inherently within all of us to take over. This is an impulse of life that is stronger than anything than our past, as I mentioned, and is pulling us forward. And it means on some level, we're going to have to maybe stop being merely enamored or enthralled or entertained by individuals who are doing great and outstanding feats in the world. And we look at them and say, wow, they're special. But understand, unless they bring a vibration and a motivation to us, information and inspiration to us, then it's going to be a waste. Because we want to be part of a group of individuals who goes to see every single thing that happens that's great by other people, not to necessarily entertain us. Entertainment is good, but we want that to be something to inspire us to come out and express who we have come here to be. You know, because they've expressed their particular art. They've expressed their particular way of being in the world. And maybe we have a hope that one day we will see the next big thing that comes along from those other people, that will come along from someone else. But perhaps the energy of the world is telling us now, you are here to be the next big thing. There's an energy within you that needs to be released. And your movement, my movement, is out to see people of excellence, is to serve as motivation and inspiration for us. You know, I'm looking at our world and I realize that we're at a stage of our evolution where we have to consciously choose this way of being now. Particularly as we go through these challenging experiences of today. But as we look at history, the human lot has been pulled along by individuals who have made breakthroughs, that have been the innovators, that have been the inventors, that have been the artists, that have been the poets, that have been the mystics. And all of us in some way, shape, or form are mystics, because those are people who have pierced the veil of three-dimensional living and have caught a transcendent vision and articulated in their field of endeavor and are pulling society forward. The great people in society, large or small, because no large or small than the mind of God. Unfortunately, there's been sometimes a big drag on our society and our world by people who are walking asleep, following whatever is popular, whatever is normal, having their particular thoughts pre-digested so that they don't have to think anymore. We don't want to be those kinds of individuals. We want to be at the forefront or in the forefront of those who are waking up, who are going deep into their cellular aspect of life, their soul level, and catching a vision of high resolve. You and I must choose this on a regular basis, because there is a vision, there is a power, there is a presence that's trying to pull you, that's trying to pull me, and that's what the world is calling for us to do today. Yet to consciously evolve. Because when you resolve to evolve, your problems will dissolve. We have to do it consciously, though. We have to start with our own awareness. Because things we can do right now, no matter where we are, right in our rooms, while we're jogging, walking, biking, wherever, going through the store, we can pray every day. We can watch what we think every day. We can watch what we put in our mouth every day. We can watch what comes out of our mouth every single day as a way of life. Now, when we begin to go into the high vibration, it's often the price we have to pay along the way. You know, because there's a moment where you and I begin to break away from the consensus thinking, the common thinking, the impossibility thinking. And we might begin to suffer withdrawal symptoms from breaking free from the social disease of just hanging out with the popular belief system. But the world is calling us to come out from among them. But when we do, there's a real withdrawal that takes place. There's a part of us that just wants to fit in. Part of us that just wants to belong, that just wants to be normal. That part that begins to start to shake and quake. But just like a person who may be detoxing from some sort of substance, you know, addiction, drugs or alcohol or refined sugar for that matter. There are moments that you just don't know if you're going to make it. We may look out in the world and say, man, I don't know if we're going to make it through this. And we may be shaking and quaking, but you know, deep down inside, that we can, because there have been individuals who have been sober for a long time. I remember there was one lady I talked with, just in her own, you know, sobering experience, had a sobering experience and was celebrating 20 years. And a couple of people have mentioned their own birthdays of sobriety and from other different things, not just in that area. Some of us, it might be from food. Some of it might be just from sugar. But you know that it takes what it takes to go through that kind of withdrawal. Yet you, when you and I begin to break free from consensus thinking, it's the same kind of thing. Because we have been so hypnotized and mesmerized to fit in and belong and to have the prevailing opinion think through us. That when we begin to break away and say, oh no, there is a power, there's a presence, there's a love within me. And that power and presence and that love is to pulling me to my tomorrow. It's pulling me to my evolutionary spirit. The God within me is stronger than my yesterday, is stronger than the circumstances I'm facing, is stronger than anything that has happened to us individually or collectively. We have to start thinking from that realm. We have to begin to think from that perspective, no longer refusing to think the thoughts of God. There are, in fact, people who are afraid to think the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God are these, their inspiration, their wholeness. That's what we want to think through us. And when we begin to stand up to that level, when we begin to think those kinds of thoughts, we begin to activate the genius code that is within us. Yes, we'll go through a withdrawal, you know, and that death knell that has grabbed us begins to break free. It begins to break free from it, and we may go through our chemicalization. But understand, it's fleeting. It seems to last forever when we're going through it. Just like we're going through this COVID-19, man, it seems like it's been going on forever. It's been a long time now. You know, at least for me, I don't know about you. But it may seem like we're going through it forever. But when you step on the other side of it, and we're all going to do that, we'll come out feeling sometimes maybe we felt like we were alone. But when you're passing through it, it does feel that way. That I'm by myself. Oh my God, what am I going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to make it? We got to ask better questions. How is God going to get us through this? We know it can. We just have to hang in there. And as you and I step through and begin to see that we're never alone, we can lean on this presence, resting assured that God is for us and never against us, that we are one with this presence, and the call of our tomorrow is happening. The beautiful thing about the call of tomorrow is that the pull, as I mentioned, is stronger when we surrender to it. It's stronger than anything else that's happening now or has happened in the past. Understand, if you take a little small seed that has begun to sprout and you place that seed upside down in the soil and you cover it with dirt, in a short time, the life force within that seed, it's the call of their tomorrow. It will turn it right side up. It'll grow towards the light. It'll break through concrete. It will not complain about being upside down. It will not complain about the dirt being on top of it. It will not complain about anything or try to find excuses and reasons why it is upside down. It will begin to hear the call of its tomorrow. And the light will allow that little seedling to spring forth and express itself. I say that because we need to be reminded that power is within us. That power is the God power in you and me if we give vent to it, if we use it, if we consciously make it the activity of our awareness. So remember, when you resolve to evolve, your problems dissolve. You know, I think it was Albert Einstein, we said we'd never think on the level of a problem. To solve the problem, we must go beyond it. We go beyond our problem by constantly evolving and growing and developing. You know, I was watching a debate on YouTube, and I was reading some of the comments by the viewers. And sometimes I find the comments more interesting than the video itself. We have some hilarious people. But in this case, the debaters were talking about statistics, and one debater was talking about statistics, and the other was talking in prose, was one of the observations. And the implication was the statistics were more persuasive than the prose. But we don't want to underestimate the power of art in our evolution. Because imagine what would happen if individuals became addicted to art, became addicted to beauty, became addicted to love, became addicted to new ways of healing and sharing and forgiveness and compassion and kindness and principles of spirituality. What if we became addicted to that? I think one of the byproducts of the shutdown that we're going through, the COVID-19, is the stay at home that has kept our attention kind of focused, is that we're seeing a lot of spiritual communities promoting more and more of their message online, reaching more people all over the planet. And in some way, we're saturating the consciousness with new ways of loving and giving and sharing the art and the possibilities of transformation. Imagine what the mass mind is beginning to produce. It is helping us to evolve to something more. I just imagine what miracles will start to happen in our planet. When we begin to do this more and more, this could be the byproduct of what we're going through. Anyways, I begin to close out, just, I think, to get there, to unsnag ourselves from the attention, from the normalcy of the world that we kind of had gotten used to before COVID-19, before the protests that forced us to unhook from that normalcy and allowed us to step back and examine life. I think all of that is helping us understand that there is a call right now happening. It is the call of our tomorrow. The oak tree is saying to the acorn, wake up. The rose is saying to the rose bush, bloom. The Christ presence is saying to you, awaketh thou that sleepeth, that I may give you life, more life, and more life. It is saying that now. Now, we can birth a kind and just society. We can birth a new way of being and seeing and walking and talking. We can resolve to evolve. This is where we are. And to help us move along in this evolutionary process, we must say to ourselves on a regular basis, we must make ourselves open by saying, I'm ready and willing and bold enough to think the thoughts of God. I'm available to the divine impulse of the evolution itself. I'm making a resolution to evolve now. I think the thoughts of God. The challenges of today are helping us recognize there is something crying out to be released that's within all of us. It is the gift of our divinity that wants to be stirred into activity now, as me and as you. So remember, as you resolve to evolve, as you resolve to grow and develop spiritually, you begin to feel the pull of our tomorrow, a pull that is so strong that it will help us rise above the challenges that we face today, regardless of what has happened, regardless of the pain, regardless of what we've experienced, regardless of any ill health anyone has experienced individually or collectively. Whatever it is, this pull of life is stronger than all of that, and it will help us get through it. It will help us reshape our existence now. So let us not be conformed to the world or succumb to the circumstances. Let us be reminded that we're here to be transformed by the renewing of our mind and asking, do we are continuously growing? This is a new moment. We are here to birth a new being. We're here to birth a new way of living. And we experience that new way of living when we resolve to evolve each and every moment of our life. Peace and blessings to you.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are. One heart.